All praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His aid. We seek refuge of Allah Ta'ala from our evil souls and our evil actions. He, whom Allah Ta'ala guides, know that he is rightly guided. And he whom Allah Ta'ala misguides, it is sad to say that he will never, ever, ever find the path of guidance. I bear witness and testify that none has the right to be worshipped except the Almighty Lord, ascribing no partners unto him. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammadun ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, al-Hashimi al-Qurayshi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the last messenger of the Almighty Lord, his slave, his servant. May the peace and blessings be upon him, his family, and every single one who follows his guidance to the last day. By Allah's peace and blessings, Islam, dear creatures, contains the complete and perfect guidance for all humanity. And this is in the saying of the Almighty Lord, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. This day I have perfected your religion, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen Islam. How beautiful the word Islam to be your religion. Islam did not neglect, did not leave out anything, any information that is needed by the people to achieve, to attain happiness, or to avoid harm. It did not leave out anything. If you want happiness, you will find it in Islam. If you want to be, you want to avoid evil, harm, you will find it in Islam. How to avoid evil. And this was the mission by all the prophets, by all the messengers, as declared by no other than the last messenger, the last messengers, Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, never was a prophet before me, but disclosed to his people all that he knew to be good for them, and all that he knew, he warned them against all that he knew to be evil for them. Likewise, it was the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, I have not left you with anything that will bring you closer to Jannah and farther from hellfire, except it has been clarified by me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to you, which is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some mushrikun, pagans, tried to mock Islam, make fun of Islam, when they said to Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion, the Persian companion, they said to him, it seems that your prophet has taught you everything. You know, trying to make a mockery. Everything, even how to defecate. Go to the toilet. This great companion responded with dignity. And every Muslim always feels dignified. Honor that he's a Muslim. He responded with dignity. Yes, indeed, he said. Yes, indeed, we have been prohibited to turn our faces or back to the Qibla when defecating or urinating, from using less than 3 stones to clean ourselves, and from using animal waste and bones to cleanse ourselves. How beautiful is Islam? Yeah, there is nothing at all left out, neglected. Nothing. It contains the complete and perfect guidance for humanity. Allahu Akbar. Islam did not leave anything that the creatures that the Muslim need to gain happiness or avoid harm, whether minute or large. It tailors, and it only tailors. It's the only religion that tailors for all the people and at all times. And it is the religion, the guidance, the way that has been preserved. And wallahi, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, it will remain intact without being touched, tampered, played with for all ages as the only true guidance, the only true guidance that is capable of helping and saving the people. So we know that Islam is complete. Don't forget this, because inshallah this is going to, you know, end up where we're going to meet inshallah. Islam is complete. You want happiness, you'll find it in Islam. You want to avoid evil, you will know if you look into Islam. Anas ibn Malik, in a hadith collected by Sulaiman ibn Ashraf Abu Dawood and Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal, mentions that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina, he found the people celebrating 2 days, 2 Eids, whose significance was held from the days of Jahiliyyah. He mentions, when I came upon you, you continued to celebrate 2 days, 2 Eids. Then the Almighty Lord has substituted those 2 days with 2 better days, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. He said, leave those 2 days, no matter what they are for, leave them. There is something better from the Almighty Lord, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, the day of sacrifice and the day of breaking the fast. You know, according to some scholars, the 2 days that were being celebrated by the people of Medina was a day called Nairuz and a day called Mihrajan, 2 Persian holidays. Persian holidays, you can say. It was regarding the passing qualities and the weather. As for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, Allahu Akbar. 2 days legislated by Allah Ta'ala to His creatures. It is His choice. Now, think about this strongly and remember this as well. It is His choice for His creatures, these 2 days. And they follow the completion of 2 great pillars of Islam, Ramadan and pilgrimage. Because Eid al-Adha is after pilgrimage and Eid al-Fitr is after Ramadan. So these are the 2 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. From authentic hadith, it is cited that in Islam there are only 3 Eid days. How many are there Eids? 4, 5, 6, 7, 10? No. There are only 3 Eid days. 1 weekly Eid, which is every Friday, and 2 annual Eids, which is every after Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid al-Adha, which is after pilgrimage. There are no other celebrations in Islam. No other celebrations. If you say there is, you must forward the proof. If you say there's no other celebration, you must forward the proof. These celebrations were granted by the Almighty Lord as a gift. And when Allah Ta'ala grants us something, He grants it perfect and complete. Thus He granted it this to us, and He granted the etiquette of how to celebrate in these Eids. So we know, and we must understand, that no one is allowed, no one has the right to prescribe a Eid except the Almighty Lord. No one is allowed to prescribe a date of Eid except Allah Ta'ala, and the manner of how we celebrate in that Eid except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who has the right over this. However, out there are many Muslims who naively believe that Islam allows us to resemble the non-Muslims and act in complete harmony with them. Act in complete harmony with them. They believe that what matters, and they emphasize on this very strongly, that what matters is that which is in the heart, not the external appearance or action of a human being. In what matters is that which you believe. What you do on the outside is between you and yourself. And what you do on the inside is between you and the Creator. Isn't this contrary? Isn't this contradicting to the Quran and Sunnah? Did not Allah Ta'ala command us as Muslims? We are Muslims, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, we should be happy. We've got a religion, a deen, a way, a path, a guidance that is complete. There's no deficiency, no weakness in it. We are commanded in Islam to associate and only associate with the believers and adhere and only adhere to their path. And this is clearly stated in His Word, the Almighty. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِغْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with the Messenger after guidance has been plainly conveyed to him, Quran and Sunnah conveyed to him, and adheres to a path other than that of the believers, we will leave him in the path that he has chosen. How would you choose a path other than that of the believers? And the path of the believers is no other than Islam. So the meaning of other than the believers is other than Islam, other than the way of Islam. We will leave him in the path he has chosen. If you choose today to be among the Christians celebrating Christmas, you have chosen the path. Other than the believers, Christmas is not for us. If you want to celebrate Easter, you have chosen a path other than the believers. You will be in that path. Is the Almighty Word saying? If you choose a path to celebrate birthdays, and inshallah ta'ala I will tell you what they mean later on. Birthdays, you will be in the path that you have chosen, and Allah says, we will land him in hellfire, and what an evil abode that is. Furthermore, the Almighty Lord has commanded us to be distinctively different from the non-Muslims. You mean, subhanAllah, how many ahadith, how many ayat, clearly, explicitly, so manifest, it needs Ibrahim to read and understand. A 9-year-old. That's how clear it is. Teaching us that we must be different from the non-Muslims. In Bukhari, in Muslim, it says, be different from the non-Muslims. In another narration, Bukhari and Muslim, be different from the Jews and Christians. In the book of Ahmad, be, or whoever imitates a person or a people, he is one of them. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, anhuma, mentions that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, grow your beards. Be different from the Jews and Christians. Grow your beards and trim your moustache. Be different, be different, be different. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, clearly mentions, fast Ashura. Be different from the Jews and fast the day before or after it. Be different from the Jews. Deterring prayer from after Fajr to sunrise and before Maghrib. Why? Because the non-Muslims specialize that time to act on their worship. Be different. And many, many ahadith, many verses explicitly mentioned to all of the Muslims, O Muslim, you are a Muslim, so be different from the non-Muslims. Why is it important to be different? Why? Why is it important? You know, subhanAllah, after being guided after being bestowed with the best bestow that you can ever have, Islam. Islam is the best guidance. Islam is a guidance, a path that Allah chose for you. You are a Muslim. You should feel dignity, honor, which no one has the right to claim except a Muslim. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Honor belongs to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers. Honor belongs to Allah. No one has the right to claim this honor and dignity, this pride of being a Muslim, except the believers. Honor belongs to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers. That's why a lot of people today, unfortunately, when they walk on the streets, the Muslims I'm talking about, they put their heads down. They put their heads down in embarrassment and shame and shy because they are Muslims. SubhanAllah! You should be honored. You should be happy, dignified that you are a Muslim. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Never put your head down. Never be embarrassed or shy that you are a Muslim. Say, I am a Muslim. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Raise your head with dignity that you are a Muslim. And you will be honored inshaAllah ta'ala. Not by the creatures, by the Almighty Lord. And that's all that should be concerned to you. Likewise, why is it important to be different from the non-Muslims? The non-Muslims are misguided. Their ways, their affairs, their actions are based on no other than deviant views. Deviant views. Concerning their society, philosophy, universe, even their very existence. And their actions are frequently relating to these deviant views. So why would one want to be like them or imitate them when they are all misguided? Does not make sense. Does not make sense. And we know a great fundamental rule, principle in juristic science, jurisprudence, that. Take this, it's a very important statement, principle. External resemblance results in real resemblance of the heart. External resemblance results in real resemblance of the heart. And I hope you understood what I said. And resembling the non-Muslims was Satan's first step in leading the Muslims to act and believe like them. He succeeded and he has worked very hard. And many have fallen abyss in the hands of this trap of the devil. Many. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ As Ibn Taymiyyah, رحمت الله عليه, we want Ibn Taymiyyah, don't we? Do we not? Ibn Taymiyyah, Allahu Akbar, if you do not know him, you don't know Islam. An ocean of knowledge. Don't listen to those idiots that curse him. Don't listen to those idiots that rebuke him. He was an ocean of knowledge, rahmatullah alayhi. He demonstrates that imitating the kuffar is prohibited even if you do it ignorantly, and if you do it intentionally, it raises to the status, to the level of kufr. It raises to the status of kufr. Now, what are some examples of imitating the kuffar? If the practice is done by the non-Muslims for a religious cause and it involves shirk, then this is absolutely prohibited, and the person who is doing this act, even though you resemble them, is a mushrik. For example, wearing a cross. You say, I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. If you put a cross on you, you're not a Muslim. Whether you do it ignorantly or intentionally, you are not a Muslim by wearing a cross. Placing an idol that is worshipped in your house. And did you know that Christmas tree is an idol? The evergreen tree? Inshallah, we'll learn what the evergreen tree means. Worshipping in non-Islamic religious services. You know, so you go to the Mass on Sunday, I just want to be with my, you know, see some friends there, I'll just go and join them. Praying to the grave. Scholars here have mentioned whether the person commits these acts intentionally or ignorantly, he is doing an act of kufr, shirk, and he is to be treated accordingly. If the practice is done by the non-Muslims for a religious cause, but there's no obvious shirk in it, at least the one that is performing it, then this is a absolute prohibited act and it constitutes to a major sin. For example, placing a Christmas tree in your house or celebrating non-Islamic holidays. Here we must emphasize something very important, that the Eids and the holidays of the non-Muslims, they always hold a religious or a ideological non-Islamic meaning, all the time. Likewise, these always hold where the non-Muslim, the kafir, are always indulged in many, many, many evil practices. And this includes the places where they commit these evil things. This includes Christmas and New Year parties. Christmas and New Year parties. Halloween, trick-or-treat. Easter. Birthdays. Thanksgiving Day. And other balut holidays. Let us look briefly at some of these definitions. This is all from the encyclopedia or from the Webster dictionary, which is accepted by the whole world. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a waste of time, huh? We'll read it anyway, inshallah ta'ala. The origin of birthday parties. You know, many people say, birthday party, big deal, it's only a party. Big deal, it's only a party. What's the origin of it? Let us see. The tradition of birthday parties started in Europe a long time ago. The tradition of birthday parties started where? Now you've got to learn this because you have to rebuke those that are doing it. And if you do not, what's knowledge without action? It was believed that evil spirits, listen carefully, it was believed that evil spirits were attracted to people on their birthdays. Who was attracted to people? The angels. Evil spirits. To protect them from harm, you need the birthday of a person. They believe that to protect yourself from the evil spirits that are attracted on that day you were born every year, friends and family to protect them from harm, friends and family would to come to the home. It's not really good English. In other words, friends and family would go to the home of that person who's having his birthday to be with the birthday person and bring good thoughts and wishes. And bring what? Good thoughts and wishes. Giving gifts brought even more good cheer to ward off the evil spirits. No wonder why they give a lot of presents. So they can ward off more spirits. The bigger the present, the bigger the spirit that will leave. Correct? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how birthday parties began. At first, this is not mine, this is in the dictionary and the encyclopedia. This is from their work. At first, it was only kings who were recognized as important enough to have a birthday celebration. As time went by, children became included in birthday celebrations. The first children's birthday parties occurred in Germany and were called Kinderfests. Kinderfest, alhamdulillah, that is the origin of birthday. What is the origin? Ahmed? No. What is the origin of the birthday? Who's going to tell me? To ward off evil spirits. Correct. Is that halal in Islam? What are you committing here? If you believe in this, what are you committing? So how can you have birthday, brothers and sisters? How? How can you have birthday parties? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Let us see Halloween. We'll get to Christmas now, inshallah. Halloween, the meaning of Halloween. If you thought Halloween was a time for children dressed in cute costumes of witches, goblins, ghosts or devils to knock at your door calling trick or treat, you had better wise up. There is more to Halloween, much more. I'm not going to read it all. It's just too much. Did you know that Halloween is a day witches celebrate above all other days? Witches have 8 major festivals throughout the year. The major witchcraft festival is October 31, or better known as Halloween. Even that, if we stop there, we understand that Halloween is based on witchcraft in Islam is what? Why is it shirk? Ahsanallahu alaykum. MashaAllah, you've been really studying, haven't you? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Allah yahfazna yahfazkum, inshaAllah. The earliest celebrations of Halloween began among the Celt. Who is the Celt? People in the white English people in England, you can say. Or those who have in America and England, Australia, convicts and so forth. A Celt who lived more than 2,000 years ago. Celtic countries celebrated the vigil of Samhain in honor of their god, Samhain, Lord of the Dead. In order to police Samhain, the Druids, these are the Druids that are people who actually performed this. It's the origin of Halloween now. Listen carefully. The Druids are the ones that believed in this concept. It began then and it discontinued. The Druids held cruel fire rites. Prisoners of war, criminals or animals were burned alive in odd-shaped baskets. By observing the way they died, the Druids saw omens of the future, good and bad. The Druids also put on grotesque. What's a grotesque? Something that looks very, very ugly. And terrifying costumes. They believed that if you dressed in a horrible enough fashion and went trooping around with the spirits all night, they would think you were one of them and would not harm you. That's why they do trick or treat. The Celts believed that when these spirits came to your house, trick or treat, if you did not treat them, they would trick you. You know what I mean by trick or treat? You know what Halloween is, don't you? You don't know what Halloween is? Alhamdulillah. People in Halloween do trick or treat. What they do, this is known, especially in America, at least where all the evil originates anyway. In Halloween, they really celebrate Halloween over there unbelievably. And the children wear the ghosts and the goblins and whatever balut they wear on them, and they look ugly. The grotesque uniforms, the ugly looking things, in order to attract whom? The spirits, so the spirits won't hurt you or harm you. So they say, if you do not go to door and trick or treat on the doors, and you know how they exchange gifts and so forth for trick or treat, they say if you treat with these sweets and so forth, exchange, you will not be tricked by the spirit. Alhamdulillah. Doesn't look like many of you understood it, but alhamdulillah. It's a pagan based belief, and inshallah, that's all we need to know. It's witchcraft. The origin of Christmas. So far, birthday, and so far, Halloween. They are both pagan related. What is the origin of Christmas? I want one answer from the crowd. One answer. Who can tell me what is the origin of Christmas? Abdullah. No. Listen. That is a misconception. Not only you, but billions and billions of people worldwide. Listen carefully and you will know, inshallah ta'ala, probably for the first time, what Christmas is all about. The date of December 25th comes from Rome and was a celebration of the Italian god Saturn and the rebirth of the sun god. Listen carefully. It all refers to the sun, the gods and so forth. This is the origin of Christmas now. This was done long before the birth of Jesus, Christmas. It was noted by the pre-Christian Romans and other pagans that daylight began to increase after December 22nd, when they assumed that the sun god died. These ancients believed that the sun god rose from the dead 3 days later as the newborn and venerable sun. Thus, they figured that to be the reason for increasing daylight, this was a cause for much wild excitement and celebration. This is Christmas now, how it began. Gift-giving and merriment filled the temples of ancient Rome as sacred priests of Saturn carried wreaths of evergreen boughs in procession. That's where the tree comes from originally. And you know what the tree soon, inshallah, is when I define it. In Germany, the evergreen tree. So we know what the Christmas was originally. Who can tell me? I hope this is you're comprehending this. What is the origin of Christmas?
It's sun god.
Sun god? What do they believe?
They believe the sun god died and then he resurrected.
Allah yahfazak. You must have been really, really researching. Very good, tabarakal. Allah yahfazna yahfazkum. In Germany, the evergreen tree. What is the evergreen tree? Who knows what the evergreen tree is? The Christmas tree was used in worship and celebration of the Yule God. What is the Yule God? The Christmas God. That's what the Yule God is, the Christmas God to them, to these same people still. Also in observance of the resurrected sun God. The evergreen tree was a symbol of the essence of life and was regarded as a symbol in fertility worship. Are you all comprehending this? What was the evergreen tree? The? So what did they use it for? Which means? Which means? Why would they place a tree in their homes? Or why would they worship the tree? Because they believe it provides life. It provides life. That's the essence of it. You know the Azzi in Lebanon? You know the Azzi in Lebanon? You know the flag, the Lebanese flag? And you see the Azzi? Where a lot of Lebanese Muslims wear it on their rings and chains? That is a symbol of paganism itself. This is worshipped in Lebanon, in the Ards. The Christians, the Maronites there worship this tree, and this, many, many, many Lebanese Muslims do not know this. Yet they wear it on their ring and on their chains and so forth, necklaces, believing that it's just a symbol of Lebanon. It is not. It's a worshipped idol symbol. It is not allowed for a person to wear such evil. And this tree is no different, exactly the same. It's a worship thing. Witches and other pagans regarded the red holly. What's a red holly? A red holly. Ahsan Allah ilayk. When you see the tree, you see it decorated with what? Like a red balls and leaves coming out, extra leaves that they place on it. That red holly, the little red balls, you see that? Witches and other pagans regarded that red holly as a symbol, look at his stupidness, as a symbol of the menstrual blood of the Queen of Heaven, also known as Diana. As the symbol of of the menstrual blood of the Queen of Heaven, subhanAllah. You know, how filthy is that? The white berries. This is the tree, right? We've got the tree now. Now we're looking at the red holly. We've got that. Now what else is on the tree? Besides the lights. Even the lights, wallahi, is a pagan belief. The lights that they put on it, and where you see in many houses exposed in the front, this is all witchcraft. The white berries of the mistletoe. What's the mistletoe?
Very good, mashallah. Tabarakallah. You're killing it tonight. You're on edge tonight, aren't you? The white berries of the mistletoe were believed. This is also hung on the Christmas tree. Christmas tree, astaghfirullah. The white berries of mistletoe were believed by pagans to represent droplets of the semen of the sun god. And they do believe that the, as Umar Ali Afazul mentioned, that they believe that if you stand underneath it and kiss your spouse, you will be connected for life. You will be connected with contact cement. Regardless how much problems you have with her, you will be connected for life. That is their belief as well. Let us leave this junk out and go to the bottom. The word Christmas is a combination of the words Christ and Miss. The word Miss means death and was coined originally by the Roman Catholic Church and belongs exclusively to the Church of Rome. The ritual of the Mass involves the death of Christ and the distribution of the host, a word taken from the Latin word hostile, meaning victim. A simple study of the tactics of the Roman Church reveals that in every case the Church absorbed the customs, traditions, and general paganism of every tribe, culture, and nation in their efforts to increase the number of people under their control. In other words, they created this in order to gather people. They did not care whether it's a Christian belief, did not care if it's an authentic belief, a genuine ritual. All they wanted was crowds. That is what they mentioned. All they wanted was crowds. Because now Christmas, if you see the churches, it's jam-packed. Even though it's not their belief, because Christmas, even in the Bible, the Christian belief, they believe that Jesus was born when?
25th of December.
No. They don't believe that. That is a false interpretation from the priests. The Christian belief is, any priest will tell you this, the Christian belief that Jesus was born sometime in September. That's what they believe. But the followers of Christianity have been deceived and deceived and deceived with many, many, many false beliefs. Because their religion is based on what? Blind following. You cannot understand, they say to you, you must believe. As when I asked the concept Trinity when I first embraced Islam myself, and I asked for the concept of Trinity, I went to the priest, I asked him, I want to know about Trinity. What is Trinity? You know, I said to him, how can you believe that God is the Son, God is the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? And yet you say that God is one, and yet you say then three of them is one, yet each one is God. He said to me, oh my son, this is about 12, 13 years ago, oh my son, you got to believe the way it is, you will not understand it. I said to him, right in the eye, I asked him, did God send a religion to guide me or to confuse me? And he just shut up. He was just quiet. Oh my son, oh my son. Son the bra after. Oh my son. The true meaning of Easter. The true meaning of Easter. That's just a created story in order to gain more customers. Can't you see how many customers they have? How much money have they made for Santa? Isn't the whole Bible these days a moneymaker? So as time goes on, that's why you always see the newly edition or the newly edited or the new version. Because they always create in order to make, as Allah says in the Quran, money.
What do you do if somebody greets you when you finish fasting?
Fasting?
Say whenever
you finish fasting, that's Eid, compared, like a gift, inshallah, we'll get to that inshallah. As there's Umar Shaheen and Shubha Qadiyahan, so we can continue inshallah. The true meaning of Easter. Yeah, it's never going to go into the Easter show, is there, Ya Subhan? Get a couple of Easter bags, you know, have the, see a bunny. Get the Easter eggs and munch on the chocolate. Get a bit of pimples. Under the definition of Easter, in Webster's Dictionary, College Edition, go back to College Edition, huh? One finds originally the name of pagan vernal festival, Ishtar, meaning the dawn goddess. This is the actual meaning of Easter in the dictionary, dawn goddess. Further reading in the encyclopedia or most books on the holidays will identify this Ishtar with the pagan goddess, Ishtar is Easter in French, with the pagan goddess known variously as Ishtar, Ishtar, Semiramis, and Astarte. This is the same Babylonian queen of heaven, whose worship is condemned in the words of God, which is in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 7 and 44. The trappings of the modern Easter and its associated days are all pagan in origin. Lent is not found in the Bible as a Christian holiday. It is rather borrowed from the 40 days of mourning for Tammuz, the lover husband son of Asterus. God's word condemns its observance. This is the actual Christian telling us that they do not even believe in Easter. What did the Christians believe in Easter? How do they believe in Easter? This is the origin. This is the origin that it goes back to the dawn goddess. It's a pagan belief. But what do the Christians believe today as the church has transformed, changed the meaning so they can get more customers? What did I say about Easter? Good Friday, he died and he raised how many days? That is the belief of the Christians of Easter. Regardless, paganism, belief of what they believe, it is halal or haram? Are we allowed to go and visit them? Are we allowed to go to Easter show? Are we allowed to go and put Christmas trees in their houses? Are we allowed to congratulate them for Christmas or Easter or birthdays or Halloween trick-or-treat? Are we allowed to have a big, fat, chunky turkey on our dinner for Thanksgiving Day? Huh? Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great caliph, he banned every single Muslim in his time from even looking, wallahi, from even looking at the festivals of the kafar, their holidays. Today, Allahu a'lam how many families today put the television on and watch the Christmas ceremonies. How many Muslims today would have watched the ceremonies that they performed? Is this halal? Wallahi, it's haram. Wallahi, it's haram. How many Muslims go to the Easter show? Wallahi, it's haram. How many Muslims perform birthdays? Wallahi, it's haram. How many Muslims put in America pumpkins in the front of their houses and wear the costumes on Halloween? Wallahi, it's haram. How many people have a big fat turkey on Thanksgiving Day? Wallahi, it's haram. All pagan belief. Umar, another narration mentions, keep away from the enemies of Allah on their holidays. Did he mention it just for mentioning? No, because this is haram, it's kufr, it's shirk related. In Qawl Allah Ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Those who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by evil talk or evil play, they pass with dignity. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Aliyah, Tawus, Ad-Dahhaq, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Ar-Rabi'u ibn Anas, and many, many more pious predecessors said, those who do not witness the holidays of the infidels, those who do not participate in the holidays of the infidels, these great companions, these great pious predecessors, that's the way they understood this verse. In another narration, Athabir ibn Dahaq mentions that a man vowed that he will sacrifice some camels in a place called Bawana. And Bawana is a place in Arabia. So he went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have vowed to sacrifice some camels in Bawana. Look at the question he asked him, Muhammad sallam. He asked him, did they worship their idols there? This man said, no. Did they have their holidays there? He said, no. He said, then fulfill your vow, for there is no fulfillment of a vow where there is the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine today where they actually participate. Which is worse? Congratulating them is not allowed. Congratulating them is not allowed. You know, how can you bring yourself down and say Merry Christmas or Happy Easter or so forth? How can you wish them well for disobeying Allah Ta'ala? That's what you're doing. You're wishing them well, blessed, your holiday, for disobeying Allah Ta'ala. We must refrain from all expressions such as Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Easter, Happy Birthday. We are not allowed to say any of this. It is haram. Because by you saying this, it's an indication of what? Acceptance, approval of their rites of kufr. We are prohibited from answering, responding to the invitation. We are prohibited from exchanging gifts, sweets, cards, or any of the like. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says, that all this is sinning. Whether you do it out of flattery, kindness or shyness, it is haram, he says. And this is absolutely correct. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, sorry, Umar, mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, that congratulating the kuffar on Christmas or on any other holiday is unanimously prohibited. Ibn Qayyim, in his great book Ahkam, Ahl al-Thummah mentions, to say, such as, for example, he mentions, blessed your holidays, and so forth, it is like or equivalent, he mentions, congratulating them, praising them, accepting them, prostrating to the cross. There's no difference. You know, we say today that what's going to happen if someone comes up to you and says, Merry Christmas, what are you going to do? You're going to get them out the book and say, hold on, your Christmas says, what are you going to do? Subhi. A man comes up to you, next door neighbor, it happened to me yesterday. He comes up to me as I was going, you know, we've got to treat our neighbors kindly. It's a command, even though it's a Kafir. He's got a right over us as we are his neighbors. He gives me, Fayez. He calls me Fayez and Fayez, whatever. He goes, I can never remember your name. I got no problem, call me whatever you want to call me. He comes up to me and shakes my hand. Before, when he's finished, he goes, Merry Christmas. Okay, how are you? He goes, Merry Christmas. Okay, how are you? And it diverted his mind from saying, Merry Christmas. That's why there's no way around it. There's always a way around it. You know, Happy Easter. Ahlan wa marhaban. There's always a way to divert it, but don't say, oh, likewise to you. So we've got to understand that we are not allowed to associate ourselves with any non-Islamic festival. And it's sad to see those who watch these festivals. You know, how many people just say, I'm just watching, look at the Mardi Gras party. Sarih wallahi, look at the Mardi Gras party. You know, I went to a place the other day and I saw a Muslim house, and I saw a film, the video cassette, Mardi Gras 98. I looked at it like, I go, what's this? So it's only a film, I'm not going there. You know, by you watching that film, it is though you are there, if not worse. What are you watching anyway? Filthy, dirty, abominated, yucky people. Wallahi, you can spit on these people, these filth. Oh, it's only a film? Yani, a'udhu billahi, a'udhu billahi. You cannot watch it, you cannot exchange any gifts, sweets, cards, even cards. Like the other day, we got the guy that distributes the pies to our center. One of the boxes, we opened it up, and it had, Yusuf, were you there? Yeah. It had a Christmas greeting. This is a gift, some pies for Christmas. What do we do with the pies? It's a Christmas gift. Do we just devour it? Pies for free, yum yum. No. We pay for the pious because we don't accept Christmas gifts. We pay for these pious. So next time we come, inshallah, in the bill, we must pay for those pious because we don't accept Christmas gifts. It's like a brother, he mentioned to me not long ago, his sister had a birthday party. And he knows it's haram, but he said, Faiz, you know, after that happened, because it was just too embarrassing. The whole family, the whole crowd, the whole friends, I'm the only one out. They're going to look at me as though I'm, you know, too extreme. I had to go. Does he have to go? Does he have to go? Who is he more right to feel shy of? Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that human creature is nothing but flesh and bones. The one that created him, or the one that bore him. The one that is going to judge him. Isn't he more right to fear? More right to feel shy of? Absolutely. Do not feel shy or embarrassed of creation. Feel shy and embarrassed of the creator of creation. For he is your judge, and he will judge you. And on that day, your mother, your father, your sister, you know, anyone else, they will be running, seeking one hasanat from you, and you from them. So you will wish that day that you obeyed Allah Ta'ala, but it will be too late. So obey Allah Ta'ala while you got the chance, and do not indulge in any evil practices. And an evil practice is affiliating yourself, associating yourself with the non-Muslim festivals. You know how many people today, Allahu A'lam, are enjoying themselves, like, you know, attending Christmas ceremonies. Believe me, you go to Dalian Harbour, you go to the city and you'll see all the Muslim hijab is there. It's sad to see, it's sad to say, but this is happening. Valentine's Day? Valentine's Day? You want to know Valentine's Day? What is Valentine's Day? Who knows what Valentine's Day is? MashaAllah. The reference, sorry. Ahsan Allah ilayk. Ahsan Allah ilayk. Likewise, Valentine's Day, the origin, Allahu A'lam, refers back. I didn't look at the dictionary, because I've heard this. I don't know about the Greek god himself. But it goes to a pagan belief that they believe that it is the connection. The spirit will strongly connect you together if you gift your spouse, your wife on that day and vice versa. This is a belief where a normal person will say, not a problem, it's great. A bit of flowers, a gift is not going to hurt you. But likewise, refer back to the dictionary for this, to affirm it. It goes back to spiritual, supernatural belief. Mother's Day and Father's Day. Yahaj Yahab. Are we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to gift our parents and specify one day a year for Mother's Day and Father's Day? Why? It's only a gift. Isn't every single day a Mother's Day for us? Isn't every single day a Father's Day for us? Is it only one day of the year that we have to be good to her and kiss her hand on her forehead and give her a gift? Look how beautiful Islam is. Every single day in Islam is a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. So your brother, you're better off being a mother and a father in Islam, aren't you? And Valentine's. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. If your parents or your relatives are non-Muslims, what is your duty when these evil celebrations appear? Because, you know, a lot of people feel, a lot of non-Muslim relatives feel very, very offended when you do not greet them. You must advise them wisely. Teach them wisely. Tell them, look, I'm Muslim now. It is not right for me to associate myself in or on these days. Excuse me, I am sorry. I still love you, but I cannot greet you, gift you, exchange anything with you on that day. That's all you can say to them. They're going to get upset. But they'll always come back to normal, inshallah ta'ala. Correct? That's the human nature. They probably slander you for 3 or 4 days, not a month. But after that, they're back to normal. A mother and a father will never, never leave or abandon the child.